quick question.
Sure.
Where do they sell the Rebbe's Sfarim?
The Rebbe's Sfarim can be found on any website, but really you go into any store, you go into any store in Mea Shearim, you go into Manny's in the Kabbalah section, they have most. A lot of the Yama Chachmas are hard to find now because they haven't been published since Tafshin Ayin Ches. Bakasha. Nana and cinnamon. No, just nanas. Well, thank you, Menachem.
I think so.
Whatever it is, it's good.
And so
you can buy most of the Sfarim, but now they're putting out already like second generation of the Rebbe's writings to find the original kind of Yama Chachma yearbooks. Apparently they're publishing one from last year soon, which would be amazing. But you can find them on certain websites, and PDFs are kind of available wide. But they already were malakate. I can direct you to which Sfarim. Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to talk about an inyan from the Rebbe's weekly writings, but because we're doing it in person, so what we're going to try and do is we're going to spend more time than just being in the teaching itself, and we're going to be makdim, the teaching, to contextualize what the Rebbe is doing, to reveal kind of the ikar chiddush in it. So there's a sugya in the Arizal. It's really a sugya rooted in the Ramak. And it's in the Ramak, it's a sugya referred to as the sugya of the tzachtzachos. Tzachtzachos are kind of these rarefied images that are rooted in the fact that a person is unable to understand them. And there's three or four, for the Ramak, they were associated with the world of Keser and different iterations of Keser. For the Arizal, this finds real expression when you look in Eitz Chaim Kadisha, in Shar HaKlalim, and also in Shar Arich. So this is Shar Yud Gimel in Perek Beis. This is where the Arizal says something very famous, especially if you're studying the Rebbe's Torah or Kamarna Chassidus. And the Lubavitch Rebbe made a very big esek out of this as well. That when you look at the shoresh of the Yud Sfiros, the essential Yud Sfiros that are rooted in the parts of Arich Anpin, which is the realm of Keser, at the highest point, so what you find is that you have Keser, Chochma, Bina, you have Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, you have Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. You only have nine Sfiros, Shorashiyot. You only have nine original Sfiros, so to speak. And the Arizal asks the simple question, but what about the tenth Sfira? What about Malchus? What about the lowest Sfira in the world? Right? We know that Malchus is very often associated with impoverishment, abject impoverishment, having nothing for oneself. It's a place of dimyon, imagination, of absence, of darkness, of this worldliness. So what appears to be missing from the Teisha Sfiros HaShoroshiyot, from these nine originary Sfiros, so to speak, is the Sfira of Malchus. So what the Arizal writes explicitly based on the Zohar HaKadosh in the Idra Zuta Daf Reish Pei Ches Amud Peis is as follows. We know that when it comes to Keser, so again, we're not learning Kabbalah, we're learning the Rebbe's Torah here. So what Keser means is the loftiest point in the human mind, as well as the highest point in which the human mind can contemplate anything. When it comes to the contemplation of God, we can contemplate all of the worlds, all of the spheros, all of the different iterations, but when we come to a place of Keser, the highest crown, what we're told is a few halachos. One of the halachos are that Keser is mamash the ceiling. There's nothing above Keser, there's nothing above from Ratzon or Tainug, and that the Keser of this world is really the Malchus of the higher world. It's the lowest rung of the higher world, which becomes the highest rung of the lower world. So Keser is that ceiling that we reach, where we come in contact with the fact that Imratz Levavecha Shav LaAcharecha, that if your heart runs forward and wants to grasp everything, it's forced to retreat into itself with the recognition that it can't reach even further. And that place of Keser is a place which referred to as Nehura Umka. It's referred to as a darkened light because it's dark by dint of the fact that anytime we try and contemplate it or grasp it, we come up empty and we realize that the only way to grasp it is either by way of desire or something even deeper than desire, which is pleasure. Now, when it comes to Keser, when it comes to the highest point of Keser, the Arizal discusses the concept of Keser in the world of Arich Anpin. Okay, so again, these are phrases. We'll come to be familiar with these phrases over time, but for now, they're placeholders for us to give us insight into what the Rebbe is trying to do. So there's something referred to as the three heads of Keser, the Gimel Reishin of Keser, what's referred to in Chabad and Lubavitch parlance as Gar de Keser. Gar stands for Gimel Reishin. Generally speaking, the ten spheros can be split up into two compartments. There's the Gar, the Gimel Reishin, the three upper spheros, and the Zat, which is the seven lower spheros. The Gar are either going to be Keser, Chachma, and Bina. Keser would be kind of the midbrain above the body. Chachma would be the right brain. Bina would be the left brain. When we count Keser, we don't count Das. When we count Das, we don't count Keser, because both are both the inner or the outer expression of each other. But we know that Keser is the loftiest of the Gar, of the Gimel Reishin, and then you have the Zayim Tachtainim, which are Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, and Malchus, more related to emotionality and physical experience. So when it comes to understanding Keser, what the Idra Zuta points out to us is that in truth, Keser is comprised of three parts: Da Legominda, Veda Leilaminda. Each of them are circled and encircled by each other, and each of them are hierarchically above one another. So what are these three parts of Keser? So we're going to start from the bottom and move upwards. So the lowest part of the Gar of Keser, everybody with me on this so far? Just the Milim? Right, so we have something referred to as Moicha Stima'a. Moicha Stima'a, meaning the concealed mind, is associated with Chachma. It's really the first instantiation of limitation in existence. It is the birthplace of something referred to as the Butzina de Kardinusa, the dark flame, which is the origination of limitation without being limiting. It's the aspect of the potential towards Gevura without having any of the negative symptoms associated with Gevura. Butzina de Kardinusa is rooted within the Moicha Stima, which is why the Arizal points out that for some of the Kadmoinim, Chachma was referred to as Gevura as opposed to Chesed. Above that, above the Moicha Stima'a, the concealed part of the brain, you have something referred to as the Golgalta. The Golgalta is the skull, which represents that really within the skull there's something referred to as Avira Dachya, this purified air. So this purified air is really the Keser of Erech Anpin. Okay, so you have Chachma, which is the Moicha Stima'a, you have Avira Dachya, which is the Keser, and then on top of that, you have something referred to as Reisha Delo Isyada. Reisha Delo Isyada, which is referred to as Atik Yoimin, which is the highest part of Keser, or it's typically known as Radla, Reish Dalid Lamid Chupchik Aleph, as it's written in all of the Svarim. But Reisha Delo Isyada represents the loftiest possible part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression into reality, and because it's so lofty, it can't be understood. It's not fully mislabesh. It doesn't engarb itself in the lower parts of him. It doesn't engarb itself in a way that can be grasped. But rather, we simply know about its existence. It remains ungarbed. When you look at the Kabbalah of the Arizal, everything is about halbasha, something called engarbment. Right? The only way that we have grasp of anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal to us is by a systematic progression of layers and layers of concealing garments. The more concealed something is, the more we have the ability to grasp it. The less concealed something is, the less we have the ability to grasp it. In Olam HaTohu, there was no concealment whatsoever. It was just Oiros. It was Oiros Merubim and Kalim Meutim. It was a lot of light with very few vessels, and for that reason, it was not sustainable. The world of Tikkun is Riboy Kalim Umiyut Oiris. It's more vessels that serve to constrict the light, giving us a capacity to grasp the Riboy Nishleilim, and the lights are more tolerable. Tikkun, in the language of the Arizal, is concealment. Tikkunim are garments. Tikkunim are shields and sheets of covering that we place over the light so that it becomes expressible and graspable by us. Every parts of every higher level engarbs itself in the lower level. in order for that higher level to be graspable by the lower level. Just as we, when we want to reveal ourselves to the world, we put on clothing so that we can be received by the world, so too the higher gradations of light engarb themselves within concealing vessels, but this is the kunst, this is the apex and the innermost point of the system of the Arizal, based on the Ramak, the Ari writes this Mufurish, that when it comes to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha-he'elem hu ha-giloi ve-ha-giloi hu ha-he'elem. That ha-he'elem hu ha-giloi, concealment is revelation, and revelation is concealment. Meaning to say that the more concealed Hashem allows himself to become, the more graspable he is to the human mind, which is limited. The more revealed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the more difficult it is for us to grasp him. And so therefore these tikkunim, these halbashos, or these process of engarbments, are what allow us to grasp the Ribbono Shel Olam. The gar of Atik, something referred to as Reisha D'lo Isyada, is unguarded. Just as when I get dressed, I am only covering my body, but my head remains ungarbed, the head typically represents that place that is not reachable or graspable by the level below it. Yeah? The lower level has a relationship to the Zayin Tachtonim. Every lower level has a relationship with the seven lower spheros of the higher level. But the three upper spheros, the Gar, remain inaccessible because they're not engarbed. When it comes to the Moichin, when it comes to the highest level of Keser, which is Reish Lo Asyada, the Keser of Keser, so to speak, is not engarbed. It's not reachable. Nothing can grasp it. And it's referred to as Reish Lo Yada V'lo Isyada Ma Dehave Bahai Reisha. It's referred to as a head that is unknown and it is unknowable by dint of the fact that we don't know what is in that head. Radla. Reish Lo Isyada becomes a synonym with the highest possible level of Keser. The light of Purim is related to Reish Lo Isyada. Adar is Rosh Tevos, Reish Lo Isyada. Because everything about Vinaha Poichu, everything about coming to contact with the fact that as human beings we can't know anything at the end of the day, that is rooted in the place of Radla, of Reish Lo Isyada. How Rabbi Nachman says over and over, Tachlis Hayadiyah Shelo Neda, that the apex of knowledge is to come to a place where you recognize that things are unknowable, like we spoke about last week. That doesn't mean be ignorant. It means be a wise man as much as you can until you reach the apex of wisdom, which is what? That I've never been a wise man and I'm nothing but a simpleton and I can't understand anything whatsoever. That place of Reisha D'lo Isyada. Again, Reisha D'lo Isyada is not pure ignorance devoid of an attempt to grasp it. It's the ignorance that survives every attempt at knowledge. It's that which remains above us. It's the Shoresh of Emunah. How in the end of the day, after all is said and done, the only thing that remains in front of me is Emunah. When it comes to Reish Lo Isyada, now let's go back to the Arizal and Shar Yud Gimel Perek Beis. So the question is, we have these nine original spheros. We have the Keser, the Chochmah, the Bina, the Chesed, the Gvura, the Teferes, the Netzach, the Hod, and the Yesod of Arich Anpin. But where's the Malchus? We don't have the Malchus. We don't have that place of impoverishment. We don't have that place of concealment. We don't have that place that forces you as a human being to come in contact with the intensity of all things. So where is it found? Zok the Arizal, that in truth, the Malchus is rooted where? In Reisha D'lo Isyada. And that's why, La'asir Lavo, when we talk about Malchus, we refer to a concept of Eishas Chayla Teres Baila, that the Nekeva, the Nukva, the Malchus, that which is impoverished and concealed and isolated and silent, is in truth rooted in the loftiest place. And when the moon rejuvenates itself, it's going to be seen on a certain level, in a certain Bechina, as existing higher and above the clarity of the sun. So what we have from the Arizal is something Nifla, right? We have that, okay, so we're talking about the highest world. We have the original nine spheros. Where's the lowest sphera? That lowest sphera is really rooted in Reisha D'lo Isyada, the unknowable head that remains so unknown and so removed from our human grasp that it's inaccessible. And that is the source of the Malchus. So first and foremost, this becomes an idea referred to as Malchus HaGnuza Biradla. You find this in particular in the writings of the Kamarna Rebbe. In the Kamarna Rebbe's Noitzer Chesed on Pirkei Avos, in the Kamarna Rebbe's Zohar Chai, in the Kamarna Rebbe's Nesiv Mitzvosecha, you find language and an engagement with this concept of Reish Lo Isyada as this point of connection between something and nothing, where knowledge meets ignorance and ignorance meets knowledge, where the attempt to grasp things reaches the pure state of emunah, you find the Kamarna Rebbe speaking about it in a very, very intense way. The Mittler Rebbe from Lubavitch also spoke about it very much. The Svardika Mekubalim in their Perushim on the Idra Zuta also discuss it, but nobody like the Kamarna Rebbe does. And in relationship to how much the Kamarna Rebbe discusses Reshid Lois Yada, it's as if he never even heard of the concept in relationship to what the Rebbe does. Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita discusses the concept of Reshid Lois Yada more so than any tzaddik that preceded him, as engaged in the series of ideas of Reshid Lois Yada and unpacking it to become really something that when you're learning the Rebbe's writings, especially later on when you look at the Shalosh Shudas Drashas, it's nearly impossible to find the Shalosh Shudas Drasha that doesn't deal or engage with this concept of Reshid Lois Yada. Because like we spoke about last week, if Bina represents Ani and separation, the worlds of separation, and Chachma, Atzilus, represents the worlds of clarity and unity, no ego whatsoever, the place of Reshid Lois Yada, the meeting point between the Malchus and Keser of Ani and Ayin, is that place where the two begin to dance in unison, where it's no longer only Ani, it's no longer only Ayin, but rather it's now Ani v'Ayin b'Vasachas. In the place of Reshid Lois Yada, there's a space where a person can tolerate paradox, the upholding of paradox. Why? Because I realize that I never knew anything to begin with. So why not accept all the paradox in the deepest way? And the only kli that we've spoken about that is capable of drawing down paradox is emunah. Everybody with me on this so far? Beseder. There's something incredibly significant when it comes to Shar HaTikun. Shar HaTikun in whether a person is learning Otzos Chaim eventually or a person is learning Eitz Chaim, what happened in the Shvira is that there was a relationship between masculine lights and feminine lights, or lights and vessels. There was a total and complete imbalance between the two of them. Everything shattered and got destroyed. That's what's referred to as the Oires of Ben. The lights of femininity, the lights of concealment, the world of Tohu descended downwards and broke. What's Olam HaTikun? Olam HaTikun is the expression of something referred to as Oires of Ma, masculine lights, orderly lights, that come down not to negate the broken lights of femininity, but to engage with them, elevate them, integrate with them, to create a balance of masculine expression and feminine receptivity, to create a balancing act where now these two oppositional things can unite with one another. That's why Olam HaTikun is always referred to as Oires of Ma and Ben. Oires of Ma and Ben. Ma is the masculinity that comes down at the stage of Tikkun to rarefy, clarify, and unify with the lights of femininity which are associated with Tohu. Ma and Ben, the Zidich of Tzadikim point out, is Gematria Zman, because that's the birthplace of time. Time awareness is what happens when Tikkun and Tohu unite in order to create an orderly universe. How is the world created? How does the Arizal orient the world? There's something called Partsufim. Okay, and again, all of these are hakdamos, halavai, we should be zocha to go through all of them properly, but for the sake of understanding Torah HaChasidus and understanding what the Rebbe is bringing, we're going to just become a little bit familiar with the language. What happens is, there needs to be, really, whether you want to look at it as 5, 6, or 12 partsufim, as the Arizal discusses, the partsufim are built, how? Of the broken lights of Ben and the fixed lights of Ma. Now, this is a very important piece, because typically you would think if someone's coming to fix a system, you get rid of that which is broken and you just bring about things that are fixed and new. But the Arizal is very, very clear and careful to let us know that don't think for a second that Olam HaTikun is the negation of Tohu, that orderliness is the negation of chaos, because that's not what we're talking about. Tikun and rectification is the integration of chaos into itself. It's nothing other than the broken vessels being reintegrated. So, for example, the dugma, to apply this to a psychological experience. A person finds themselves in a lowercase t traumatic experience, something goes wrong, something breaks them apart. One might think that the therapeutic way out of that is to negate the trauma completely, to ignore the trauma, to never look at it again, and to begin to live in a world beyond the trauma, as if I've been able to forget, repress the trauma. But as we know, as Freud has taught us, that repression does not work. We can't get rid of the trauma. You need to take it and force it to become something that helps you elevate in your life. That's what happens in Tikkun. We don't get rid of the trauma, we integrate the trauma into the health that exists after the trauma, kavyachol. Yeah? Okay, so when it comes to the binyan ha-partzufim, so the Arizal goes into an Arichas, and the Rashash brings this down in his Hakdama of Rechov HaSanar as well, which shows us that it's an essential piece, because the Rashash was only taking the most essential ingredients. What you find is that you would think that, okay, you have the 10 spheros of Ben of Keser, and the 10 new spheros of Ma of Keser, and they'll unite with each other. Then the broken Chachma will unite with the fixed Chachma, and down the number line, right? You would think that Keser fixes Keser, Chachma fixes Chachma, Bina fixes Bina, and vice versa. But what you find in Rav Chaim Vital is a totally mixed up, muddled up numerical system where the integration that creates the new system of order is not only taking from one place, but rather it's taking five from here, three from there, two from here, and there's a real integration going on. So the binyan ha-partzufim, as opposed to being a seamless integration of one part that is fixed and its counterpart that is broken, it becomes this potpourri of everybody taking from different places. When it comes to building the parts of Atik Yoimin, when it comes to building the parts of Reshad Lois Yada, when it comes to Atik Yoimin V'Nukva, which is where we encounter Reshad Lois Yada, Rav Chaim Vital says something incredible. He says, I don't know exactly what my Rebbe told me when it comes to this. There's Sveikos here. And in Shar Atik, Rav Chaim Vital goes through four or five potential equations that would create the parts of Atik, and they are referred to as the Sveikos of Atik, the doubts associated with Atik. And it goes deeply into each and every possibility. And then at the end, Rav Chaim Vital says something amazing. He says, V'yesh od Sveikos v'go v'lo zachisi bahem. And there are more Sveikos like this, and I have not been meritorious enough to learn them. So all of the Meforshim immediately start asking, not all, the Toam HaChaim Zachu, the Ramchal made a big Esek out of this, the Baal HaSula made a big Esek out of this, the Lashem Shabbat HaChalim made a big Esek, the Rebbe in Yama Chachma Tavshin Ayin has like a 60-page, 70-page mimer on the Sugya of Sveikos Dereshu L'Osyada that brings us directly into the heart of Shalashuddis, just incredible, incredible teachings. But suffice it to say, there's something referred to as the Sveikos of Reshad Lois Yada, the doubts associated with this highest point of Atik in terms of how that place is made. The Ramchal, in discussing these Sveikos of Reshad Lois Yada, he discusses the idea of why is it that at the loftiest point in the system, instead of finding what we would expect to be clarity and a resolution of how to look at things, that's what the Arizal is telling us, rather we come face-to-face with Sveikos. We come face-to-face with open possibility. And so, all of the Meforshim, whether it's the Leshem has a language where he says that Be'emes, they're Safek Be'etzem, they're essential doubt. They're not doubts of whether something is present, they're essential doubts in the sense that they exist, but rather they exist by way of doubt. But what Ramchal points out is as follows. The doubts associated with Radla are not because one is true and the other is not true. In the place of Radla, everything is true. Both options are true. In the place of Radla, it's just happening so fast, the spinning and the movement in which and through which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Makasher, the infinite and the finite. Because again, that's the role of Radla, right? Reshad Lois Yada is the bridge that bridges the infinite light of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it becomes the transference point in which finitude, finite existence, limitation, has the ability to taste the light of the infinite. It's what Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver describes as the hamshacha of bilti zman l'toich hazman, of that which negates time into time itself. So Reshad Lois Yada, the Vilna Gaon speaks so highly of Reshad Lois Yada that he says that you can, in truth, on a relative level, refer to it as Or Ein Sof. You can refer to it as the light of the infinite because it is totally ungraspable by us. So what the Ramchal says, and he says this in Klach Pisrei Chachma, he says this in Pisrei Chachma Vadas, and he says this in Igros HaRamchal, that the doubts associated with Safek are not because we're not sure which light is present there in the place of Radla, but rather our human grasp is unable to see everything happening at once in spite of their opposition to one another, and therefore human capacity can only grasp one thing at once. But in truth, all options are perpetually true there, and it's our way of seeing this perpetual kind of quantum uncertainty manifest in real time, where we only see it as flashing in one particular way, but it's not because that one particular way is the only true way, but it's because that's how it's true in my eyes at this present moment. The dogma. if there's a suffix as to whether there's chicken in the refrigerator or whether there's not chicken in the refrigerator, right? When I open the refrigerator and I discover that there's chicken in there, so then I come to realize that the suffix has been misyashev. There is chicken, and the option of there not being chicken in that refrigerator is not true. So there's been a clarification. But when it comes to the sveikos of reshid lo esyada, that's not the case. The chicken is there and the chicken is not there at the very same moment. It depends completely on the perspective of the perceiver. Very much rooted in really quantum uncertainty, Schrodinger's cat, where the cat is both dead and alive, depending on a person's perception of it. This is literally how the Ramchal describes the sveikos of reshid lo esyada. The Talmid Chaim Zachu, in order to show the value of this, asking why Rav Chaim Vital says, v'yesh od sveikos v'go v'lo zachisi behem, what is it to be zoicha to a suffik? So he says, if you look at the shach and his klalim on sveik sveika, you find the lashon, a few sentences from the shach, where he says that without suffik, the Torah's hapeh, Torah shebal peh, would be missing nearly half of its function, right? Suffolk becomes such a birthplace of such a robust element of Torah. One can say that the entirety of Torah Sheval Peh is rooted in Suffolk. It's born out of misunderstanding that emerges out of the death of clarity and nevuah. So Suffolk is in truth the birthplace of Torah Sheval Peh. And Torah Sheval Peh has Kuntras HaSveikos. You have the Shara Yosha, you have the Rishonim and the Achronim who go through all of the sugyas of Safek, and it's clearly a fundamental part of the Torah, and we see this most explicitly in the Arizal, says the Talmid Chaim Zachu. He says that we see that Safek becomes the apex of the system, that when you want to understand the highest point, you come in contact with Safek. Those are the Sveikos of Reshid Lo Esyada. Coming back to the Tzachtzachos, right, these three tzach, tzachot, which the Ramak associates with this place of unknowability. So there's an amazing pasuk that Rav Chaim Vital brings down in Eitz Chaim to represent these sveikos. And it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, and the pasuk says, v'hispia b'tzach tzachos nafshecha, that in a time of famine, that the prophet promises that I will relieve you, I will sustain you, I will satisfy you in a time of famine. And so Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, Talmud Mufak of the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on the Idrizuta, in Mayim Adirim, at the very beginning, he says as follows, V'spia b'tzach tzachos nafshecha. There's two ways to read this. You can read this as, I will satisfy you in the time of famine, which means that you're thirsty and you're desirous of water, and I'm going to satisfy that desire. Or, V'spia, you're going to be satisfied, how? Through tzach tzachos nafshecha. You're going to be satisfied by the thirst that lives perpetually within your soul. Zachter of Menachem Mendel of Shklov, when a person comes to the stekos of Reshid Lo Esyada, what you come face to face with is the impossibility of being misyashev, of settling those sveikos. And at that place, what it's representative of is that as a human being, as a limited creature, the greatest level that I can reach in the spiritual ascent is to come to a place of not knowing, is to come to a place where I recognize that Kedushasi Lamalim Kedushaseichem, your holiness is higher than me, and therefore I will always perpetually be in a state of doubt. And the Hispia, how will I find satisfaction? B'tzach Tzachos Nafshecha. For those keeping track in Rabbeinu's teachings, this is very much the Shoresh of Torah Chafdalet and Lukut Maharan, where he talks about the parsa, how there's a parsa separation that exists between Keser and the mind, and that the mind is perpetually chasing after Keser, only to reach its limit, to be Mardif Acharei, to hit the limit and bounce back, to regain strength, hit the limit, bounce back, and it's this running and returning that creates the Tisha Heichalin of Keser, which we learned about in this week's Zohar HaKadosh of Parshas Noach. Of those Tisha Heichalin, those nine Heichalim of Keser, are born out of the desire to grasp everything, the recognition of the doubt that exists at the root of everything, retreating backwards, ascending upwards again, and so it's very much makusher to what Rabbi Nachman is describing as well. So with this introduction, we'll look at what the Rebbe is writing about when it comes to a perish of his on Maseches Nedarim. This is not new. The Rebbe published the Sefer on Nedarim in its entirety, but because it is Shayach to the Zman and it's Shayach to Dafyomi, so the Rebbe is now publishing again the Shirim on Nedarim. So the Rebbe is discussing why it is that the Ran seems to say that any suffix with regards to tzedakah, or any suffix with regards to mamonus, is going to be lakula, because there's a klal gadol that safek in mamonos is the kula. La'afuke other rishonim that say that when it comes to tzedakah, or when it comes to, you know, peya or hilchos of what I owe to another person, it's not a din in the suffix of the mammon, but rather it's a din in the suffix of the gavr, whether I have accomplished what I needed to do, and therefore we say suffix da'oraisa l'chumra over there, even though it has something to do with mammon. But the Ran says, adraba, no, it doesn't matter what type of property we're talking about, whether it's currency or whether it's land, the ruling of suffix mammon l'kula applies to everything. And so what the Rebbe wants to understand is, why is it that the Ran is so stark on this nekuda of sveikos associated with mammon are going to be seen and opened up lekula? And the Rebbe goes through the lumdas. He uses the Shara Yoshar, who's utilizing the kunshas asveikos to describe the svara of the Rishonim, the Ramban, who says there's a chiluk, that there's safek mammon lekula, that's fair, but when it comes to safek tzedakah, or when it comes to safek demai or meiser, so you don't apply the klal of safek mammon lekula, but rather you apply the klal of safek da'oraisa l'chumra. So the Shara Yoshar of Shimon Shkup, who dealt kulo kaima in the sugyos of sveikos, and again, when you learn Sharatik, then you go back to learning of Shimon Shkup, you're no longer just learning the minutia of the sugyos and sveikos, but you're learning the details of what it means to be grappling with suffik. L'dugma, Rav Shimon Shkup has a klal that when it comes to soita, the suffik of soita is the etzim tumah of the sota. That the suffix creates an ontological reality that she is now in a state of tumma. It's not that I don't know and therefore I act a certain way. The reality of the doubt becomes a real presence of tumma. So it gives a whole new perspective of looking at suffix. But the Rebbe is not going to be holding in that lumdus, and he wants to understand as follows. V'yesh loimar, hezber panimi b'zeh. So I want to try and understand, why is it that the Ran Paskin sveikos mamonos to kula? So this is going to be based on a teaching from Likutei Maran and Torah Samech, that Shoresh HaMamon Memakom Gavoa Ma'od. That Rabbeinu is describing in Torah Samech, which is the root of Sipur Maisios Mishanim Kanmonios, he says over there in the very beginning that there's a certain Hizbaininess in Torah that a person has no access to without Ashiras. But if a person doesn't have wealth in their lives, doesn't have money in their lives, they're incapable of understanding this hisboininess. And what hisboininess is that? It's the hisboininess of Atik Yoimin. A person cannot understand the secrets of Atik Yoimin, the Torah of Atika Stima'a, which Rabbi Nachman was revealing through the Sipuri Maisios Meshanim Kanmonios, which is Atik Yoimin, an ancient time. So Sarasamech is the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and waking people up from a slumber of 70 years, like Choni Amagel, through Sipuri Maisios Meshanim Kanmonios. So Zapt Rabbeinu, that there are certain Torahs of Atik Yoimin that can't be understood without Mamonos. And again, Atik Yoimin is the Shoresh of Radha. Let's go weiter. Shasharesh hamamon memakom gavoa ma'od. Wealth, or applied to a psychological register, comfort or calmness or sustenance or sense of what Chazal referred to wealth as, is ha'sameach b'chelko, satisfaction, being present in one's life, comes from a very, very lofty place. Shelachein Moshe v'chol ha'neviim hayu lachem ashiras gadol ma'od. This is where we find that Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the prophets had a massive amount of wealth. The inkein nikra satira hoin. That's why the Torah is referred to as money, as a certain form of wealth. V'chein kol misha avar derech yadom mesora satira zachal ashiras gadol ma'od. So too, anybody who became a fundamental pillar in the transmission of Torah throughout the generations, we find that they were very wealthy. Kemo Rabbeinu Hakadosh, like Rabbeinu Hakadosh, sasider v'chasam ha-mishnayos, right, who was the one who finally placed the stamp on the Mishnayos, v'chein Rav Ashi, also Rav Ashi, sasider kol ha-talmud, hayu ashirim gadolim. We find that they were very wealthy. Ki machma shetiknu v'sidrus kol ha-tarah shebal peh, because they engaged with and arranged the entirety of Torah shebal peh, v'avar derech yada matayra, and the Torah moved through their hands. Im kein hayu gam kein ashirim. They were also wealthy. Ayin sham ba'arichus. See there in Torah Samech at length. Shemavar sham. Rabbeinu Zal sha'ashirus hazosu ayidei b'chinus tikune atik. That where does the wealth come from? The wealth comes from the tikunim of atik. Okay. Vine kvar kasavnu la'el. So here the Rebbe is going to become right very much what the Rebbe does. And this is how the Rebbe learns throughout the entirety of Shas. Kvar kasavnu la'el b'shem ha'arizal. We already wrote earlier on in the name of the Arizal in Shar Hal Gilgulim that the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, who bebechinas soid sviras hayisod, that the neshama of the Ran comes from a place of the Sira of Yesod. There's a klal gadol in the Rebbe's writings based on the Mittler Rebbe, as well as the Emek HaMelech when it comes to Yesod. Because Bederach Klal, we see Yesod as a Sira amongst others. Yesod is obviously a fundamental Sira. It's the most delicate one. It's the one that we have to be most careful with and deeply connected to. But you don't see Yesod being Oile Ad Ein Sof. You see Yesod being Oile to Chachma, but you don't necessarily see a Hiskashos between the Mida of Yesod and the Oros of Keser. The Rebbe has a Talmud Mufak, Rav Shmuel Ehrenfeld, wrote a sefer, Yeruchim Shemesh, on the Rashash. And in his Haskama there, he describes how the Rashash is really the Das of Shalom. It's Shalom, it takes all disparate disunity and unifies it. And Be'emes, in accordance with the Mittler Rebbe, in Teres Chaim, in Parshas Vayechi, where he's talking about Yosef and his ability to be Poiter Chalomos, as well as the Emek HaMelech, where he's discussing the Malchin that were mace, he says that in truth, Yesoid is Oile Ad Atik. That Yesoid goes all the way up to Chachma, and the interiority of Chachma is Atik, and therefore we find that the Yesoid is the Esan HaEzrachi, the masculine Esan, and that Yesoid has his a deepest kashrus to Keser itself, which gives us a lot more understanding of why Ratzon and Yesoid are deeply mekusher with one another, why Yosef HaTzadik was Zoichet to the Safnas Paneach to reveal Keser, because he's the Merkava to the Midah of Yesoid. So the Rebbe explains that we see, so if the Ran is mekusher to the Midah of Yesoid, then Memela, the Svaros of the Ran, are going to be Makusher to the fact that Yesoid is Oile up to Atik. So in order to understand why for the Ran, Sveikos and Mamon are going to be Nido, Makula, why we're going to be more calm when it comes to doubts associated with Mamon, which is associated with Atik, so now we have a gateway as to why the Ran's Shita is going to be the one that gives us more insight into this concept. Now these parparos l'chachma, so to speak, where the Rebbe is darshaning the Tanayim and understanding why it's their svara, they're essential to the entire understanding of the fact that every part of the Torah is necessary. But when conveying the ideas and the yesodos of the Rebbe's Torah, meaning the yesodos as they apply to the nefesh, one not necessarily need to learn why the Ran is mushrash in this svira or why Rashba is mushrash in that svira. The Rebbe has books and books on it, but it's not necessarily nogeya ikr lamaisa to what it means to understand the Rebbe's Torah in terms of pnimius hanefesh and learning how to function as a normal human being in this world. So we'll go weiter. Everybody with me? Say there. So we're armed with the fact that the Ran is mekusher to the sphere of Yesod, which has a hiskashrus miyuchedes to the sphere of Keser and Atik, which now, and Atik is associated with wealth, which can now give us an inkling into why the Ran is mekil when it comes to Sveikos and Mamon. V'hina isa mirabenu haramchal zal. So the Ramchal writes, Shehamakom hayachid shasham kol hasveikos heim b'chinas kedusha. That where is it that we're going to find that all sveikos are in truth rooted within holiness, as opposed to our typically association with sveikos being something rooted in impurity and a deviation away from clarity? Hu begar da'atik. The only place where we find all sveikos transformed into holiness is going to be at the Gar of Atik, the place of Reisha de Lois Yada. Like we spoke about there, Rizal said, this is where, at the place of Reisha de Lois Yada, the highest point of Keser, which is also the Shurish of Malchus, as we're going to see, is where the sveikos are Memutak. Shasham Mizgale Ha'inyin de Sveikos de Atik. Because at that place we see the revelation of the concept of the Sveikos of Atik, which are Mevur Ba'arichos in the words of the Arizal and Eitz Chaim and Shar Atik, Shekol HaSveikos Heim Be'etzem Gilui Elokus Amitim HaNiglim L'Chacham V'Navi Shemasig V'Oyla L'Sham. That in truth all of the doubts and all of the uncertainties are in their essence revelations of godliness in the truest form that are revealed to the perceiver, to the wise man or to the Navi. Chacham and Navi, which represent as categorizations the two ways that human beings grasp things in this world, whether through Nevuah or whether through Chachma, that the person, the perceiver themselves, when they grasp them properly, they'll come to see that in truth, these Sveikos are nothing but the revelation of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam by way of Safek. It's not that it's a Safek that takes me away from the revelation of Hashem, but rather it's the revelation of Hashem through the Safek itself. That Safek becomes the vehicle through which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam reveals himself to me. U'mikoyach zeh, and from this strength, the Giloi Sveikos Da'atik, And from this power, the intensity of the Sveikos Vatik, Efshar Limchos as a Sveikos da Amalek, Bebechinas Zelu Umasa. And it's these holy Sveikos that give us the capacity to fight against the highest level of Suffolk when it comes to the side of the lack of Kedusha, which is the Suffolk of Amalek. When it comes to Parsha Zachor of Mordechai Sharabi, Schus Yogan Aleinu would say that if you want the Segula to be Mevarer, Sveikos in your heart, to get over the klipa of Amalek in one's heart, Koidem Purim, to learn Shar HaSveikos, to learn Shar Atik and Eitz Chaim, and to come to a place where you realize that L'umas, the Sveikos that take me away from the Rabbeinu Shleilem, there are Sveikos that bring me closer to the Rabbeinu Shleilem. You see this, the entire essence of Amalek is Safik. It's the Safik between Ein and Yesh. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Melublin has a deeper way of explaining this, that really the entire essence of Amalek is the existence of Safik. It's something that exists and doesn't exist at the same time. Rav Tzadok's language is, it's a Metzias She'ein a Metzias. It's a non-existent existence, because in truth, Amalek can't exist. The concept of something being devoid of the animating light of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam cannot exist. It's an impossibility. So the only nitzutz, the spark of Kedusha that gives light to Amalek, is the fact that we'll come to a place of understanding that such a thing as Amalek can't really exist. Because at truth, the bottom drops out and you come to realize that the concept that something is devoid of an infinite and animating light is an impossibility, and that's the nitzutz that's Meskala from Amalek. That's what Rav Tzadok HaKohen Melublin writes in Resisa Laila. But over here we see the Rebbe is writing that you want to understand how to be Mevar, the Sveikos of Amalek, which is Gematria Safek, engage with the Sveikos that are rooted in a place of absolute certainty. It's not a Safek that is emergent from a place of impoverishment or deficiency, but rather it's a Safek that emerges from a place of plenitude, that all of the options are true, and therefore when I try and grasp it one way, I'm going to be confused. But when I open myself up to the fact that I can't grasp it in one way, and I have to open myself up to Emuna, that becomes the vessel in which I can understand all things. Shehine, Iker HaKoyach Da Amalek, the essential strength of Amalek, Lahastir Kedushas Isha Yisraeli, to conceal the holiness of the Jewish spirit, Va'ayidei Sveikos Ubilbulim Shemachnes La'adam, that the essential way in which we're tossed off of our game, which comes about by way of a malik that exists within the heart and exists within every possible iteration of concealment, are the sveikos and the bilbulim and the confusion that come into a person's heart. Bilbulim here, the Rebbe seems to be associating with suffik. Bilbul is the same idea. A suffik is when I have two options in front of me and only one possibility, and it has to be one of them. The same with bilbul. Rav Avruma Balafia Skusi Agenul writes that bilbul is osios lev. It's having two hearts. It's seeing things with two hearts. And what's the tikkun to lev lev? The tikkun to lev lev is going to be, I'm going to forget the gematria, but I think Rav Avraham Abulafia points out that bilbul is gematria Yosef or Yesod, because the ikker way of being mamtik the dinim is to connect them together and to see how both options are right at once. But Kanira Bechush, right, as we see in our own lives, the essential way we get knocked off is by doubts and bilbulim. Doubts about myself, doubts about the other, doubts about my value, doubts about their value, doubts about reality, doubts about significance. It's doubts all the way up and all the way down. That's the thing that takes us away. Certainty would give us essential access to God, we believe. Shemiyasrin hasveikos es hanefesh hakadosh sherotze lavid es Hashem yisbarach u'machlishin esay adeza. That doubts and uncertainties, they torture the Holy Spirit, they torture the soul that desires to serve God, and they weaken our resolve to serve God. Ach, al yidei hadveikus b'Hashem yisparach, but by way of connecting to the light of Hashem, by way of connecting to Hashem, b'choizek b'pnimiyas oimek halev, with intensity, with breaking through the sveikos from the depths of the heart, if I dig down deep enough to the innermost point of my heart, which is in truth the Shoresh of Keser, because the innermost point of the heart is not in the heart, right? The innermost point of the heart is in the heart of the mind, which exists in a state of Moichin, which is the Shoresh of Malchus. The Melech in the body is the heart. So the Malchus, that's Gonuz Baradla, is the fact, as Rabbeinu tells us, that the emotions of the heart are the deepest type of Nevuah. L'cha amar libi bekshu panai, that the Hisoris of a Lev, Isha Yisraeli, is be'emes the deepest Vada'us possible. And in that place, when we dig down deep into the innermost point of our hearts, we're zeichet to a Negiya b'nekuda gavoazu, the Sveikos Taradla. Now this lashon, to be medaktik in it, negiya b'nekudazu. A negiya b'nekudazu. So typically speaking, we assume that in order to grasp a level, a person needs to grasp a level of its entirety. But when it comes to a darga of keser, of radla, even a negia, even a contact, a small contact point, is enough to merit the expression of that place. And this is based, perhaps, on a teaching that we have from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, in the name of the Rishonim, based on the Mor Nevuchim, that ha-toifes chelek min ha-etzem, toifes etz ha-etzem kulo. That if a person grasps a part of the essence, then in truth they're grasping the entirety of the essence at that point. That if I touch a part of the infinite, then in truth I am accessing the entirety of the infinite. Why? Because a part of the infinite contains the fullness of the infinite within itself. Zok the Rebbe Rashab, then how can you possibly have a chiluk by the infinite? How can the etzem, the essential piece, be broken up into pieces to the point that you can say, I'm touching a part of the essence? Zok the Rebbe Rashab, that's the miracle. That the tachlis is to go from the etzem, to allow it to break up into a million little pieces where we feel concealed from the etzem, to go from chachma into bina, and then to come to realize that be'emes, all of these different parts of the etzem are in truth the etzem in and of itself. Because we go down from chachma into bina to come up to the place of keser like we spoke about last week. There's a teaching from the Skolia Tzadikim, it's an addition to a story. There's a maisa that's brought down from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that somebody asked the Baal Shem Tov, Ketzed matchilin la'avoid avoydes Hashem. How does a person start the service of God? And the answer is, Zok the Baal Shem Tov, that you have to be nidme es atzmo ka'oimid al har gavoa. You have to perceive yourself as standing at the top of a very high mountain. You have to be prepared to throw yourself off and to be shattered into a million little pieces. And that's how you're going to be oivid Hashem Yisbarach. So there's an addendum to the story that's brought down by the Skolia Tzadikim, where they say that the Baal Shem Tov was with the Masharis when he said this, and what happened, or maybe someone saw it in a vision, and the Baal Shem Tov threw himself off of the cliff and fell down and shattered into a million little pieces. The person who was with him runs down to look at what happened to his Rebbe, and lo and behold, he discovered that the million little pieces that the Baal Shem Tov had shattered into, every single shard of the Baal Shem Tov was a full expression of the Baal Shem Tov. Because in truth, ha-toifes chelek min ha-etzem, toifes etz ha-etzem kulo, that the prat contains the klal within it. So what the Rebbe is saying here is that when I dig down deep enough into the innermost place in my heart, and I have even the slightest negiyah with that place of radla, everything is fixed at that point. Everything is fixed, even if I haven't had a full grasp of it. Why? Because ha-toifes chelek min ha-etzem, toifes etz ha-etzem kulo. Shasham, in that place, afa sveikos heim bebuchinas vados. In that place, the doubts themselves are even considered certainty. Now here, it's very simple to assume that what the Rebbe is going to say, that in here, at this place, all of the svekos are settled and I have certainty. So I get rid of the svekos and I live in a place of certainty. That would be a typical teaching, but that's not what the Rebbe is going to say. When we say that the svekos become vadai, it's not that I now have clarification to all of the doubts. It's that I learn how to live with the doubts as if they were certain for me. That even though I don't know, I can know at the heart of not knowing, and I can connect to the innermost point there. The Rebbe is not saying, take all doubts and beat them down with certainty until they all become certain, but the fact that doubts are transformed into certainty means it's a new way of relating to doubt in our lives, but the doubts still exist. Meaning again, on a psychological level, the chiddush here is, a person who comes to the Torah with their doubts and all of their bilbulim as they apply on every level can think that, okay, I'm only going to be okay if I find certainty in my life, if I get rid and erase all the doubts. But yeah, right, when's that ever going to happen? There's always doubt. But when the tzaddikim come along and say, you don't have to learn how to get rid of the doubt, you have to learn how to relate to the doubt in a different way, then a person has a fighting chance. Because now it's about owning my doubts and learning how to deal with them in a different way rather than getting rid of the doubts and repressing them. And therein lies the deepest therapeutic point of the Rebbe's Torah, that at the Darga of Keser, it's not about getting rid of differentiation and struggle, it's about elevating differentiation and struggle into the space of unity so that both serve each other, as we're going to see. That in this place, even the Sveikos are in the aspect of Vadaus, in the aspect of the Shem HaKadosh, in the aspect of the Holy Name, which is the name that Moshe Rabbeinu used to be Oila Lemarom, which, as the Arizal points out in Shaar Kavanos on Yom HaKippurim, comes to the Rosh Tevos of Vayevarech David Es Hashem, which is Rosh Tevos Vadai, which is why we sing on Yom HaKippurim, HaVadai Shemo Kein Tehillaso, that the certainty associated with ascending up to the heights is what we transform the doubts of Radla into, that ability to ascend upwards. Shelemala ein makom lesvekos. Above, there's no place for the bilbulim or the svekos that we find ourselves in. Kedivrei Chazal, like Chazal tell us in Maseches Brachos, mi ika sveka kai mashmaya. Is there in truth a suffek above in the place of Shemayim? And what we're seeing is that it's not that there's no question of two potential options, but rather in that holy place, all options become holy and every possibility is real because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found everywhere and anywhere I find myself. As the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says in Parshas Nayach, Shekol makom shiyesh hashras hashchina, in any place where the holy Shechina resides, ein makom lesvekos. There's no longer a place for suffik there. V'ha'adam kishemedavik atzma b'chayzik b'pinimiyas liba b'Hashem yisbarach. And when a person, again, utilizing the heart, because that heart is both the place of suffik, the place of bilbul, and also the place of vados, because if I try and find vados in my mind, I'm lost. The only place I could possibly find vados is in my heart, because it's a certainty that exceeds information. It's a certainty that lives at the heart of doubt itself. That when a person connects to the innermost part of their heart, they're niptar mikola bilbulim and mikola svekos. They're redeemed and they're removed from all of the bilbulim and all of the svekos. And here the Rebbe is very, very careful. V'ein behechrach shenishpatim svekosav b'poyel l'mataboy l'mazeh. This doesn't mean that one has suddenly found a way to free themselves from the doubts that they encounter in this worldly experience. Ela hakavana she'oile al yidei zeh l'sheiresh hagavoa deradla. But by engaging with this place, I ascend up to this holy, lofty place of Reshed Lo Asyada, the Gar of Atik, Shasham Kol Hasvekos Heim Oires Kadoshim Shelgile Elokus Ba'ifanim Shanim. In that place, every possible iteration of existence and experience is true. It's true because it exists. It's true because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed it to manifest in the world, and when I operate at that place, I might not have found satisfaction to my suffake, but I've become comfortable with my suffake. I've learned to be okay in that suffik. I've learned how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that suffik. U'kishimekasher ha'adam l'makom gavoa zeh. And when a person connects themselves to a lofty place such as this, the sveikos of Atik, harei kol ma sheyaseh, hakol hu tov, u'memela ein makom l'suffik. At that point, when a person reflects on their experiences, when a person reflects on their behavior, there's no room to question whether it was good or not. It was, and therefore it was how it had to be. Can it be better? Sir, a person can never have that perspective before the next Maisa. But after the previous Maisa, the only way to look at it is, it's all good. It's good because it happened. And now, Viter, it's my job to make things better and better. Here, the Rebbe goes into something very powerful in terms of Eitzos that a person receives from their Rebbe. Zebachinas Mashakasa of Rabbeinu Zal, this is what Rabbi Nachman writes in Torah Zion Osgimel, Sha'al Yidei Eitzos Shemakablam Eit Tzadikim Zoichim La'emes. When I accept the suggestions or the advice of the tzaddikim, I merit a place of truth. Why? Because the etza of the tzaddik is always going to be a drop of truth. It's always drip drops of truth. Why? Because when I receive the etza from the mind of the tzaddik, and that's a place of truth, and I receive that truth, then it becomes truth. And so the Rebbe is very clear here. He says, does that mean that every word that the Rebbe says, that the tzaddik says, is true? Because the tzaddik has das teira and they're able to point out the emes. Okay, perhaps some people like to live with that perspective, but listen to what the Rebbe is saying over here. The echad men ambiurim bazeh. One of the ways of understanding why every etza that a tzaddik gives is true is that the etzos of the tzaddikim noivim made dveikusam he'elyoina b'sharesh gavoa zu da'atik. That when a tzaddik is rooted in a place of atik, atik is the birthplace of etzos, as Rabbi Nosson writes in the Sakdama to Likut Maran. Shesham kol hatzdadim hein tzdadim amitiyim. Every side of the perspective is true. It might not be the truth of the truth in this circumstance, but each and every etza is rooted in a place that comes from truthfulness, even though there's differentiation and opposition in terms of what the etza might be. U'memelem is kashrim etza tzadik es ha'adam l'sharesh ha'emes. So over here we see emes as something very different than we typically associate it with. Truth over here is not that it's the essential truth out of two options. Truth over here means to recognize that every possible option emanates from a lofty place of truth because they're all real. And to end, to come back to what we began with, the Arizal says, Mufurish, that this place of Reshed Lo Asyada is the root of Malchus. So what's Malchus? Zakta Kilas Yaakov, all the tzaddikim talk about this, that Malchus is a place of ulai, To live down here is to encounter all sorts of perhaps possibilities, not knowing one thing or the other. It's either this or that. They either feel this way or they feel that way. And a person is assaulted and arrested and enslaved to the doubts of this worldly experience, to the svekos of Amalek, to the ulai, the pen v'ulai of perhaps not. The birthplace of anxiety is the pen v'ulai of one's life, the svekos of one's life, the psak, the cutting away in one's life. But when a person takes that place of malchus, which is the place of pathological doubt, and ascends it and roots it back to its original source, which is the svekos of Reish Lo'os Yada, at that point we're mamtik the svekos. At that point we learn to live with the svekos. And we see that the distortion and the lack of knowledge that we experience in this world is not because this world is so broken, but it's because this world is rooted in such a lofty place that the only way that it can express itself is by way of suffix. The tzaddikim say that safek shares an etymological root with the word sipuk, with satisfaction. And one of the explanations of the connection between doubt and satisfaction, safek and sipuk, is that if I'm searching for certainty, if I'm searching for absolute truth, then it's either one way or no other way. And I'm never going to find that way, so I'm never going to be satisfied. But if I accept the fact that everything is doubtful because I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only Havadai Shemo Kenti Lasso, then I can learn to be in the Suffolk and find satisfaction, because I don't try and run away from the Suffolk to find certainty. I try and draw certainty into the Suffolk and learn to live with it. When we say that Ein Simcha Kataras Asvekos, that there's no joy like the undoing of svekos, there's one of two ways of reading this. Either it can be that there's no joy like getting rid of safek, or we can say there's no joy like the hatara of svekos, like we say in Yom Kippur, Anu matirin lehitpalel im avaryanim. We give ourselves permission to daven with the avaryanim. Hatara is giving ourselves permission to live with them. When a person is matir the svekos, and we realize it's not something to be gotten rid of, but rather it's an opportunity to ascend up to the place of svekos deradla, to realize that all confusion comes from the fact that I'm a nivra, and the only way to deal with this is to root myself in the loftiest place of Reish Lo'os Yada, then I'm zoichet to be matir the svekos, and that's the birthplace of simcha. The last point is the Kaddish Tzur Magid, Zchusa Ganalenu, says that Aseh Lecha Rav v'tesalik min ha-safek, he says that safek is gematria amalek, and then he says as follows, a person wants to know how to leave this world. A person wants to know the tools necessary to ascend out of the limited ways that we think and to open ourselves up to a place of comfort, to salek, leave this world, ascend out of the confusion of this world. How? Min ha-safek. Meditate on safek, dive deep into svekos, and you'll find the pathway out of this world into the world of keser, be'ezras Hashem. Hi.
Did you address why...
I don't know if it's still even recording, but it could be.
Did you address why certain sugyas you need shiros?
It's all right. So what the Ron is basically saying there, but when it comes to svekos, they're all open. They're all open. Suffolk lakula is the opening of svekos. It's the allowance to be tolerant of suffolk.